Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. For the past 2 weeks or so, Bear Creek High School in Stockton has been in the midst of what became a national debate about free speech. A story planned for the school's newspaper ignited concern. The story focused on a Bear Creek student who was working in the porn industry. District school officials got involved. A teacher's job seemed to be in jeopardy. Lawyers were called. And then this past Friday, the story about 18-year-old Caitlin Fink was published as planned in the school newspaper, The Bruin Voice. The headline read, "Risky Business, Starting a Career in the Adult Entertainment Industry." So what now? And what's the First Amendment lesson for everybody, if there was one? In the studio with me to explore this is the editor-in-chief of the school paper, Gabby Backus. Hi, Gabby.
Hi.
You're a senior at Bear Creek High School.
Yes.
Okay. The staff advisor, Kathy Duffel, is here, too. She teaches English and journalism at Bear Creek High School. She is the newspaper staff advisor. Kathy, glad to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
We invited someone from the district to join us. That's the Lodi Unified School District, and they directed us to their printed statements, so we'll incorporate some of those comments in this conversation as well. What happened, Gabby, at school on Friday when the printed paper landed in the stands?
Well, usually what happens every morning is we get the paper and we count them into stacks, and our editors and our staff writers go off and deliver the stacks to each of the classrooms. Usually there's not that much of an uproar, you know, they're like, oh, paper's here, you know, not that exciting. But this time it was crazy. There were people rushing out of their seats. The whole class would get up, and they were snatching the paper out of our staff writer's hands before the delivery person even got out of the room. The paper was gone, and everybody was reading it. When we were walking around, everybody was discussing the paper and the article. It was really invigorating for me because, you know, I don't always get to see my paper being appreciated as much as it was this time. For the response, as far as I was able to tell, most of the students were excited to read the article. They didn't have too many issues with the issue of pornography. Most people were chiefly concerned with the issue of censorship and prior restraint. That's what really got people up in arms, particularly the students. We only got a little bit of backlash, most notably from some of the teachers.
What kind of backlash?
It wasn't particularly against the issue with prior restraint. Most of the complaints were about the topic of pornography and the adult entertainment industry. We had a teacher call it trash, the article particularly. And we had a few teachers come to the principal with their concerns about the students being able to read this article, which it's just absurd, in my opinion. You know, every student is exposed. Well, not every student. Let me correct myself. Most students, you know, they're almost 18. They're going to be exposed to sex, pornography, explicit material at a much younger age than 18. And that's just part of the high school experience. And to say that we shouldn't be publishing it is absurd. We've done multiple spreads on sex before.
As a point of fact, the high school is 9th to 12th graders, correct?
Yes.
So the audience for this paper is for people who might be as young as 14 years old, 15?
Yes, but I still think that it's absurd to say that this article in particular should be censored because we've done multiple issues with sex. In fact, the whole page itself is dedicated to sex. It's a double truck, two-page spread. And there are more questionable articles on that page than the article pertaining the information about the porn, the pornography.
I think we have jumped quite a bit ahead quite quickly for a number of people. That's okay, who might not know all about the story. But just in what you're explaining right there, this is both a printed and an online newspaper, The Bruin Voice.
Yes.
And when you say that the pages are dedicated to sex, I think you need to explain that a little more in terms of the content in the paper.
All right. So for our paper, we have, I believe it's 8 pages, right? Each page is, you know, news, feature, opinion, et cetera. And the stories are themed around whatever that whatever that theme is. So we decided to do a double truck, which is a two-page spread. It means that the two pages are dedicated to whatever that topic is. Our featured theme for this issue was just sex-related themes. Sex-related articles. So we have a story about, obviously, the adult entertainment industry, the profile. We also have a story on LGBTQ sexual education. We have one on gay and bisexual men not being allowed to donate blood. We have the HPV vaccine story and...
Unplanned.
Oh, yes. We have a review of the movie of... it's called Unplanned. It's about abortion.
Kathy, let me bring you into this and talk about how this happens organically, how story ideas are pitched. And I don't want to get away too far from Caitlin Fink, the person who was profiled in this article, and actually what her circumstances have been since the publication of the article. But just so everybody knows the genesis of this.
Sure.
What
sure.
happens?
Our story cycle starts with our editor sitting down either in a large group or a small group discussion with our staff writers. And as Gabby said, they pitch story ideas for news, sports, entertainment, feature. And Bailey Kirkaby, who's our news editor and managing editor, happened to be sitting with a group. And one of the students in that group pitched the story and said, "Hey, I've been hearing about this classmate of mine who is in the adult entertainment industry, and she has a lot of rumors about her. People are whispering, are saying sometimes hurtful things. She's been the subject of bullying. And maybe she might be willing to have an article written about her just to clear up some of those misconceptions." And so Bailey had a speech and debate class with Caitlin. And so Bailey, just as a friend, as a peer, reached out to her in class and said, would you be interested in having your story told?" And she said, "Absolutely." And in fact, a condition on which she agreed to do the story was that her name, in fact, was used, because she said, there have been some hurtful and inaccurate things said about me. And I would appreciate the opportunity that people see me as a person for who I am, instead of just a sex worker and the assumptions they make about it." She said, I think there's a real educational opportunity here.
Gabby, would you broad stroke how the article ended up being written? Because we learn about Caitlin in not only the work that she's doing outside of school, but some of the circumstances that pointed her to these decisions.
Do you mean her decision to go into the adult entertainment industry?
I want to know what you address in the article in the time, the challenge she was having in high school, and then what she is doing now.
Yeah. We mentioned it in the beginning of the article. She was having problems with her grades freshman and sophomore year, right? Yeah. She was hanging out with the wrong crowd.
She says that, yes.
Yes, she says that in the article. So she was just having a really bad time. And she later decides to start selling some of her images on a messaging app called Kik. She received attention for it, and she was interested in pursuing it further, so she decided to start working on Pornhub, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's now a registered artist, and she also works with a stripping agency and a modeling agency.
So this story became huge. New York Times, Washington Post. We heard you, Kathy, on Here and Now yesterday. Caitlin's done a little bit of the media herself. When the story hit the school on Friday, what was the reaction for and around Caitlin? And I know you stay in close touch with her. So, Gabby?
Regarding Caitlin, most people were most students were supportive of her situation. We come from a low-income school, so I think most students were understanding of dealing with struggles, just personal struggles like that. And so generally the response to the article was positive. Like I said earlier, only a few teachers responded negatively. Caitlin Fink herself, as far as I know, she's been content with the article. She was adamant on having her own name posted in it. She did not want to be anonymous. So from what I've heard, with this national attention, she's gathered a little bit more job opportunities. So I think she's proud to make a name for herself.
Kathy, do you want to add to that?
In my conversations with Caitlin, and I speak to her frequently, she's also indicated that she's really grateful for the opportunity to humanize sex workers. She wants people to understand that these are not people who have no morals or have no values. These are people who have rent to pay, who have utilities to pay. They have dreams, they have hopes, they have struggles just like everybody else. And she, I think, really, it was important for Caitlin that we humanize sex workers in general and then start a conversation about pornography in general, because I think Caitlin has said in some of the interviews that it's considered a taboo topic. And just in speaking with some of my own students, they did go home that night and have some conversations around the dinner table about this topic. It did raise some interesting issues and conversations with kids and their families and their parents, not only the free speech issue, but also the choices that Caitlin has made. So I think it has been an incredible teaching and learning opportunity for our students, not only Civics 101 and a lesson on the First Amendment, obviously, and now we need to teach the district a lesson on prior review. But just in general, I think it's been really positively received. I receive letters from people all over the country, from 18-year-olds, you know, an 18-year-old in Chicago who thanked me, saying, you've finally given a voice to a group of people who are demeaned in our society, who people think they shouldn't have a voice. And I've received emails from people who fought First Amendment battles back in the 50s, you know, who were editors of their high school paper in Berkeley in 1955, and they're giving us a shout out. So for all age groups all across the country, this article has sparked interest.
That's Kathy Duffel. She is the advisor for the Bruin Voice at Bear Creek High School in Stockton. I'm also talking with the editor-in-chief, Gabby Backus. We just said phrases like prior review, restraint. I want to get to some of the comment from the Lodi Unified School District. They pointed us to published statements that are on their website. From April 26th, the school district said that it supports the rights that students have to freedom of speech. And here's a line from the statement. The district has not censored or stopped publication of the Bruin Voice or any article originally scheduled to be published on April 23rd, now scheduled for May 3rd. The district is legally required to ensure that the publications do not violate Education Code Section 48907, which would prevent the publication of obscenity, defamation, and incitement. There has been a lot of tension. I'm not going to characterize it any further, Kathy, except to say that your job came in jeopardy. The district in that statement is adamant that there was no censorship. How do you characterize their request, which I understand initially was to review the article before it was published?
Yes, I think the district has a difficult time understanding that just making that request has a very chilling effect on free speech. If you understand what prior review means, so for example, if every student, and we are a public forum, the district didn't seem to understand that either. The Bruin Voice is a public forum. The district states in its own Lodi Unified School District policy, a school newspaper is a medium for publishing the news, a public forum for discussing current events of interest to students. So under that definition, we are under the Tinker ruling, the Tinker test, which was the famous 1969 case, Tinker versus Des Moines. And it ruled that the only time that a school district can infringe on school speech is when it has reason to believe that such expression will substantially interfere with the work of the school or impinge upon the rights of other students. the district did not meet that standard in its request to us to preview the article, and that is why we respectfully declined their request. And so their misunderstanding and their mischaracterization of this story as focusing on the porn industry, first of all, was false in their justification. And then they don't understand that when you demand prior review, and now where the district stands is that they believe, and in their attorney's letter to us on May 1st, they do believe I'll just read you the plain text of the Education Code 48907 states that the journalism advisor or advisors in each school are responsible for supervising student publications. Well, that's just not true. The actual 48907 wording says it is the responsibility to maintain professional standards of English and journalism and to maintain the provisions of Section 48907 to school officials that are only the journalism advisors or advisors of pupil publications within each school.
Kathy, I'm going to pause you for a minute for 2 points. Number one, that law does require the district to prevent, as it says in its comment, publication of obscenity, defamation, and incitement.
Yes.
Can you explain to me how you think the process should work so that they can prevent inappropriate material from being published, but not be in a position that's perceived as censoring?
Yes, I think there's already a process in place, and that's 48907, the Ed Code. And that gives the responsibility for determining the section of 48907, which you reference, whether it's obscenity, defamation. That gives the power to make that determination to the advisor of the publication.
And so that said, then you're implying or saying directly that they shouldn't challenge you on that. They should trust that you're going to be the firewall, the correct protection.
Since I am the one held responsible, yes, that is my job. I've been doing it for 30 years. I have never once had a challenge to the newspaper as far as libel or obscenity or defamation.
Although you are on their radar for some past situations.
Yes.
The two of you, meaning the district and you, have butted heads over similar issues before.
Absolutely. And if you'd like me to elaborate, there are three that really stand out. The first one was in 2010, in which a principal wrote me up for insubordination if I failed to submit the paper to him 1 week in advance prior to publication. And that was after we published a story in which it was noted that he lost his master key for the third time, after sending out a school-wide email in which he admonished the staff for the costs of rekeying the school. And he also ran a questionable math class that was comprised of mostly minority students without parent permission.
And the ultimate outcome of that was?
Was that I declined. I was written up for insubordination. I had to hire my own attorney to get that letter removed from my file. I paid $3,500 to hire that attorney, but that letter was removed from my file, and the superintendent apologized and took that out of my file. And then the next one was over a school safety issue with Principal Shirley McNichols. This was after one of the mass shootings, and we had our editor-in-chief, Michaela Bussey, sit down, and I think she probably was the first person to do this in the district, and actually read our school safety policy, and she went through with a highlighter and marked every single inaccuracy and outdated information, and we published that. And because of that, she confiscated all 1,700 copies of the paper and marched them down to her office and locked them up. That she had to release them later in the day, but she was on the 6 o'clock news that day.
Okay, so hold that thought, and I do want to go to the district's response last Friday, which again was posted on the website when the paper was published. And here it is. Lodi Unified School District is very pleased that the process we have been engaged in regarding the Bear Creek High School newspaper has resulted in an article that meets legal requirements. We know that these experiences regarding controversies and debates help prepare our students to be successful. We take our responsibility to the community very seriously. There are a few more words there.
I would like you to read the end of that statement, actually.
We take our responsibility to our community very seriously, and we will always be diligent in our efforts when student safety is at issue.
Yes. Student safety. I don't know whether the district thought students would die if they read an article about a student working in the sex industry. I don't know why student safety was an issue.
Was this battle won? Did you win the battle?
We won the battle, but just as a note on school safety, there's an article on page one of our newspaper that is about a coach, a track coach, being arrested for molesting a 16-year-old Bear Creek student. I would think they would have a little bit more concern about safety regarding that issue, not our profile of Caitlin Fink. So let me just say that. And I also am offended by their statement as if they are congratulating themselves and patting themselves on the back for being helpful in this process to bring this article to print when they were nothing of the sort.
Again, we did invite someone from the superintendent's office to join this conversation. And if you are just joining us, I'm talking with Kathy Duffel, the staff advisor and a teacher at Bear Creek High School in Stockton. She is advisor to the student newspaper, The Bruin Voice. Gabby Backus is here. She is the paper's editor-in-chief. Gabby, was there any editing or changing to the story done as this started to become controversial and the district got involved?
Actually, this might be more of a question for Ms. Duffel because none of the editors were allowed to see the story. It was kept solely between Ms. Duffel and the writer, Bailey Kirkaby.
Was there any editing, Kathy?
Only for professional journalism standards. We edited more for content, adding in more information about Caitlin's background and her experience. It just went through the regular editing process where we edit for grammar. But as far as editing out something that the district was concerned about, no.
Gabby, did this happen to be the last printed school newspaper of the school year?
Yeah, it wasn't actually our plan, but we decided to end with this issue. I think it's a good way to go out.
It was ironic that the day that it was printed was a notable day. I believe it was World Press Freedom Day.
That's funny.
You're graduating this year. What do you plan to do with your journalism, with your education?
I've been getting that question a lot by various news stations. I'm attending the University of California, Berkeley, to major in genetics and genomics, which has nothing to do with journalism, but I'm considering doing a minor in communications because Berkeley has a beautiful graduate program for journalism. And being here in all these different news stations, I've really come to appreciate what you guys do. It's beautiful. And I'd love to keep doing what I do.
This could have been a very big conversation about teenagers and the adult entertainment industry. It could have been a completely different national debate in a way. What do you think of the direction that it went, Gabby? And what's resonated most powerfully for you?
I think there's two separate issues here. The first one is that pornography as a whole has been so taboo, as Ms. Duffel said earlier, that we are just unwilling to talk about it in any capacity, even if it's a professional journalism capacity. I mean, that's what the district called it, obscene, without even having read the article or knowing what was in it, simply because it talked about pornography, and that's a broader issue regarding what we as Americans view as acceptable in society, when really, as this article tries to highlight, there should be much less issue with the adult entertainment industry than there is. The other issue here is that, in my opinion, we have seen a lot of conflation between the issue of pornography and the issue of censorship. As the editors, we see that there is a completely different issue between the issue of prior restraint
and people not understanding how serious that is, and the pornography, which I already discussed, in relation to the prior restraint, it's hard to get students and even older people, like parents, to understand how serious it is. I think particularly for my friends and just our student body, we don't understand how serious it is to be so willing to give away our rights. We've become so submissive and complacent. You might think of it as kind of like, for example, when students are so willing to sign away rights in a social media contract. You know, we just click the terms of service and press OK, and we're not willing to say, wait, maybe I'm giving away some rights that I shouldn't. So in that sense, we're too comfortable with the idea of easing into prior restraint, and I think that's made it very difficult for us to get the issue of censorship to make it more the headline issue than the pornography.
So, Gabby, we're about out of time, but I do want to go back to something that was said at the very beginning, which was that Caitlin Fink okayed the story, totally bought into it, because she said there were inaccurate and mean rumors going around school, and she wanted to address some of the rumors. So ultimately, do you think her goal was met, and do you think for her all of what became of the story served a purpose that has been for her helpful in the end?
Yes, I think that this article has been helpful not just to her, but just in general to educate the public about sex education and pornography. I'm certain that Caitlin is happy about how this article has come out. You know, obviously she okayed it, and we've spoken to her privately multiple times, and she is completely understanding of the situation, and she is very excited to see where this gets her.
Gabby, thanks for coming in. I appreciate the conversation.
Oh, thank you.
And I look forward to whatever you might do with
thank
this
you.
Experience, and
yeah.
Good luck at Berkeley, too.
Thank you.
That is Gabby Backus, editor-in-chief of The Bruin Voice. And Kathy, I don't think the voice will be silenced. That's the motto. I think it's a bigger war in all of this, and
yes.
Lessons learned. Even though that was the last printed paper of the year, the online version goes on, and
yes.
There's likely over the next few weeks to be more continuing coverage.
Absolutely. We will be pursuing some FERPA requests, some Freedom of Information Act requests to get to the bottom of some of what happened behind the scenes with this story. And we, as Gabby said, you know, one of the issues that we found out is about privacy rights and FERPA, and not a lot of students understand what that term even is. So that will be something that we seek to educate our students about as well.
I predict I might see you in the studio again sometime. That is Kathy Duffel from Bear Creek High School in Stockton. We have posted links to the Here and Now interview that Robin Young did yesterday, as well as the Bruin Voice. You can read the article for yourself. It's at capradio.org/insight. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
This is Insight on Cap Radio.